Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Except what was appropriated in 2019. He said there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration. So something changed. What?
You want us to break the law. Is that what you want? You want us to not comply with the law?
You want us to not comply with the law.
You want us to not be in administrations that follow the rule of law.
You guys do this all the time. The student loan forgiveness program, you went to court to fight for that. If this is such a problem, building 20 miles of wall, why not just go to court?
We went to Congress. The Congress appropriates the funding.
Why not
Congress,
fight them more?
Congress appropriates the funding. We asked them to not use that funding for that particular purpose. They denied it, and now we're complying with the law.
If you have to build a border wall, but you don't think that it's going to work, then once it's done, are you just going to tear it down?
I'm not getting into hypotheticals from here. I'm just telling you what I can tell you from here. The facts are that DHS is complying with the law. This is from fiscal year. This was under fiscal year 2019 under Republican leadership, and DHS is required to do this. The president asked multiple times of Congress to reappropriate. They did not, and we're not complying by the law. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye. Oh, my gosh. Bye. That's KJP yesterday. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Oh, my goodness. Welcome. Happy Friday. We're starting our Friday out like this. Woohoo! So fun. Dana Lash here with you. Start your weekend out right. I mean, we're drowning in all the jobs. I mean, just, you know, if you're believing what the press says. And also, guys, Biden's building a border wall and waiving 26 federal laws today. Wait. No. Let me correct myself. It is not a border wall. It's a vertical barrier in the bordery region.
Oh.
Totally different from a wall.
Is this different?
Yeah, it's different. So, like, you have a wall, okay? And then you have a vertical barrier-like structure in the bordery area.
It sounds like a wall, though.
I mean, I know it sounds maybe to some, the uneducated ear, like a wall, but it's not a wall, you know, because there's not a roof.
Oh.
Is that what, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying this. This is what Alejandro Mayorkas was saying yesterday in his statement. Nervous laugh. It's not a border wall. It's a vertical thingy, and they're following the law. They're all about the law now. So, again, welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash here. And you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Guys, you know, it's just, we're so mean to this Alejandro Mayorkas. Little dude is trying his best, you know? I mean, he's out there talking about these structural vertical barrier things that are, I mean, yes, you might want to, again, to the untrained eye, Kane, it might be wallish, but it's guaranteed it's not. It is a little, like, vertical barrier, bordery region, that's where it is. He's saying that to call it a wall is to... Audio soundbite one is to just take him out of context, and that's just not nice. Listen to this. It's out of context.
I want to address today's reporting relating to a border wall.
Yeah.
And be absolutely clear. There is no
love being clear
new administration policy with respect to the border wall. Allow me to repeat that. There is no new administration policy with respect to the border wall. From day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. That remains our position, and our position has never wavered. The language in the Federal Register notice is being taken out of context, and it does not signify any change in policy whatsoever.
So you see, for you people out there, what are we called? What is everybody called now? Deplorables cult? I don't know. That keep insisting that this sounds like a wall. They're just it's the law. They're following the law. What is wrong with that? You heard KJP. I mean, they're following the law, and it's very important, Kay, that they follow the law on this. The law states that this money has been allocated. Listen to POTUS audio soundbite 2. It's been appropriated already, the money. Listen.
Answer one question on the border wall. The border wall, the money was appropriated for the border wall. I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what was appropriated.
See, they have to use the money because the money was appropriated. You guys, I don't know what you think about our government, but they have never before in the history of the government taken money that was for something else and used it for whatever purpose they wanted. That has never happened. Never. It's never happened. They are so to the letter of the law with this vertical barrier structure in the bordery region that they've got to follow it. Because, Kane, if they don't follow the law, then they're breaking it. Yeah. And they really don't want to do that. They don't want to break the law at the border, with the people coming over illegally and not being sent back. They don't want to break the law by not using that precious money.
Okay.
Precious for the vertical barrier structure thing in the bordery region. Does that make sense?
No. No, it doesn't.
I mean, I don't know how much more clear I can be. KJP was asked, is he backtracking on this, even though I think it's pretty clear that he explained it clearly. Audio soundbite 5. Let's roll the tape.
What about this border issue? Because it does look like he's backtracking on a promise.
He's been very clear. He even took the step to ask Congress to reappropriate the funds. Mm-hmm. That's how much he did not want these appropriated funding.
You see, it's very important that we go and we ask Congress about things related to the money. Like, when we had the CDC stop all the rent and all of that, but not mortgages or taxes. That was a different thing. But, whatever. He's very has this newfound passion for asking Congress these things. And Congress said, oh, no. So, there's that. It's done. It's all decided. Just a newfound passion. I mean, he went and he asked, hat in hand, he went and asked Congress, can you please not give us this money for this vertical barrier structure that's not a wall in the bordery region? Can you please not give us this money? Just like when they went and asked Congress about, any other agency doing something that really Congress should do, which doesn't happen, Kane, ever.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's not a couple of circuit court cases on that at all. No. So, it's out of his hands. He cannot shoulder any of the blame for this Congress to whom he spoke, and tis Congress who said nay, that money shall be spent. And that vertical barrier structure in the bordery region shall be constructed, Kane. They're very diligent about the laws.
Yeah.
So they're going to build this vertical barrier structure in the bordery region because they're all about the laws for all the people coming over illegally that they won't send back. So what was that? You think that there might be a little bit of a contradiction because they're following the law with the barrier structure,
just a smidge,
but not following the law with the people coming over illegally, like by the thousands per day?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
That's what
but
I'm saying.
Congress didn't. There's no money appropriated to stop the people, maybe, for the coming across the border. I don't know. I mean, he made it very clear that it's about the money. If the money's there, that makes it the law. That's how laws work. Did you not watch Schoolhouse Rock? How does a bill become a law? Well, kid, is there money there for it? Because law, that's how that works. This only makes sense if your name is Charlie Day. Only makes sense then. So it's very important that, you know, we follow the laws on things. Just, you know, just things like that. So this is what's happening. Now, I told you, and I sent this out in your prep, there are some federal laws that must be waived. Now, this is a little, I get some questions about this. So they said it's a stunning reversal, and he wants to make it very clear that it's not. But there are 26, pull this up. For thou. There are 26 federal laws that they have to weigh to construct the physical barrier that's not a wall. Huh. Did Congress say to do that? I'm sure this doesn't have anything to do with everyone from the penguin who governs Illinois to all these other Democrat mayors and the like. I'm sure that this does not have anything to do with any of those people sending letters to the administration saying, the hell is, what are you doing? I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with that. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt, say, okay? It's just very interesting. I just find this very, very interesting. So, Kane, I'm curious, do you think, you know, just to go along with this for a brief moment, the whole issue with the people coming across illegally, is that, I mean, that's a law.
Long-standing law.
Yeah. By the way, he's apparently they've resumed the deportation flights of the illegal immigrants coming in from Venezuela. From the Associated Press, the Biden administration. Oh, this is interesting. They're sending them back on these flights. What? Pray tell, what is this? From the AP, the Biden administration will resume deporting Venezuelan illegal immigrants, the largest single group encountered at the border last month, back to their economically troubled country. Yes, it's just economically troubled, that's all. Wow. They're sending... I have a theory. Is he Trump in a mask? Is it? Does he have a Biden mask on? What happened? What's happening here? I know, guys. No, you did not accidentally get roofied. This is a real story. This is happening. Did we all get roofied? Like, was this what that test was? Did it all kick off that Marburg virus and we're all like roofied? That's the consequence of it? The hell is happening here? We got to make sense of this. All right. So also on deck, we got Charles Payne, who's going to be joining us coming up. We got Congressman Thomas Massie is going to be joining us. And we have my friend Kurt Schlichter. Now, here's the thing. Charles Payne is going to tell us how all the jobs, we're swimming in jobs like Scrooge McDuck and gold bullion. I don't know if you know this, like the jobs, there's so many of them, Kane. Granted, yes, there were two different reports. One said that there was a 32,000 job plunge. Another said that we added a caprillion of them. I get it. But, you know, we should believe the Democrats because they're nothing if not trustworthy. So we're going to talk to Charles Payne about all that. All the great numbers coming up. The mortgage rates. Everything's wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Do you love hiking or camping? Whether it's a short walk through the woods or an overnight stay along the trail, Kel-Tec has the protection you need. For two decades, the folds-in-half Kel-Tec sub-2000 carbine has been filling the pistol-caliber carbine gap with options for several popular magazines, including Glock, Smith & Wesson, and Sig Sauer. The Kel-Tec sub-2000 is much easier and less to take along. Sights are intuitive, the stock is adjustable, and field stripping is a breeze. Plus, the sub-2000 can easily be disassembled for cleaning or inspection, protection without extra tools to carry in your pack. From now until March 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased sub 2000 from a licensed dealer. Buy a Kel-Tec sub 2000, get $100. So if you've been waiting for the right time to buy an American original, consider this your invitation and visit KelTecWeapons.com today. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about the sub 2000 and $100 rebate program. KelTecWeapons.com.
99%. That's the amount of homes in the U.S. that are unaffordable for the average American. After a mass exodus from major cities after COVID, there is not enough supply. With the Fed raising rates so fast, why would anyone want to sell their home? Is this bubble growing to pop? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the subway killer, Frank James, a.k.a. the Prophet of Doom, which is just a too cool of a name to use for this piece of scum. He was sentenced to 10 life sentences, an additional 10 years for spraying a New York City train with bullets in a bloody rampage that injured 10 riders. The 64-year-old was sentenced in a Brooklyn court yesterday for committing one of the most violent acts ever seen on their transit system. He went on the Manhattan-bound N train and just sprayed everybody, ignited fireworks, wounded dozens of people back in April of 2022. So I'm sure he's going to probably make some friends the bad way in jail. Chicago Bears legend Dick Butkus has passed away at 80 years old. A, I didn't know he was 80 years old. B, it's just sad. I mean, he was like a sports feature, Dick Butkus. They have the award and everything. But his family released a statement yesterday. He passed in his sleep peacefully. This is interesting. The cat fight gets even more fun. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, and I just want to say his name is apparently Mark Wayne. Now, everyone should only have one first name. Now, I get it if it's special, maybe he's named after two grandpas, but you have two first names, sir. And I just think that's one too many. Everybody gets one. So he apparently accused Matt Gaetz of making a lewd remark about Kristi Noem's appearance, an escalation of the fight. They're going to keep slap fighting us out until the cows come home. That's going to happen. North Korea has halted their nuclear reactor and likely to extract bomb fuel. In other news, no one believes that North Korea is even capable of building a nuclear reactor. They can't even keep the lights on in any city that's name doesn't rhyme with Shmongyang. Fewer Americans are supporting arming Ukraine more and more because they're broke is why. And that was the worst time for Zelensky to be in the Capitol doing all that stuff. Fewer Americans across the political spectrum, according to a new poll from Reuters released. 65% said the same in June. They said that only 41% said that they agree to enter or that the United States should provide armament support. Coming up next, Charles Payne.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The economy created 336,000 jobs in September alone. That means since I've taken office, we've created 13.9 million new jobs.
Created 11,000 million new jobs. This is just so shady, man. This is so shady. That's the president just a little bit ago touting the latest jobs report. And they're saying, oh, we're just drowning in new jobs. Well, there's a couple of things. They're not telling you what kind of new jobs those are. But then also, there's some cooking happening in the kitchen with these numbers. I wanted to talk to our friend who I love the way he breaks it down. He's one of my favorite. Actually, I think he's one of my top two favorite people on TV. Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne. You can watch that weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. He joins us now via the phone. Charles, my friend, happy Friday to you. Explain why this is all just nothing but smoke and mirrors, because what he's claiming here, that's not the reality of the situation.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, thank you for the compliment. I'm blushing. Secondly, I got to tell you, what pisses me off more than just the lies, but listen, he's the president, he's always selling, okay, the media, it was a strong job support. Dana, I want to scream, I want to cry, what the hell? Even I hate to say it, I'm walking out, I walk out the office, I see Fox Business, strong job support. Well, why do we regurgitate this stuff? So let me break down this job support for you, okay? Yes. This job support, first of all, we kind of always conflate. When I say we, you know, the sort of Wall Street community.
Right.
Coming in better than expectations with being strong or weak. That's number one. So if the estimate is 100 and it comes in at 105, it's strong. Not really, right? You know, 1/3 of these jobs were government jobs. By the way, where the hell are they getting the money to pay these people? Why?
That's just depleting the tax base. That's not creating a new job.
Right. 1/3 government jobs. Now, some could be teachers. If it is, then that means that something is wrong, because those teacher jobs, you know, should have been mostly in August or whatever. But, you know, mm-hmm. The bottom line is 1/3 were government jobs. 1/3 were leisure and hospitality. The lowest paying jobs out there. The absolute lowest paying jobs of all the categories of jobs. And 1/3 was healthcare. A lot of that are underpaid, severely underpaid nurses taking care of an aging community, a country, right? So those three together do not equate to the word strong. You cannot use the word strong there. You cannot use the word strong. You can't. It's a farce. Here's another part of it. So the last month was revised significantly higher. Like, I forgot the number. It's over 100,000. The revision was phenomenal. I saw someone say between a jobs report and the revisions is over 400,000 jobs. The revision was all government jobs. All government jobs. In fact, if you just look at the private sector, it was revised down 12,000. This thing stinks. This thing stinks. And you know what the tell was? The White House put out a communique that President Biden would speak today at 11:30 last night.
Because
he doesn't always speak after these jobs reports. They saw the number. They said, you got to get out there and take advantage of it, yada, yada.
Yeah. We're talking with our friend Charles Payne about these jobs numbers that released. And that's the thing. I mean, you talked about how 1/3 of this is government jobs. They also are not counting, I don't think that they ever have, the people who just leave the job market, you know, whether their unemployment insurance runs out or whatever, or, you know, whatever reason they have. I mean, that's also not included into this. So, I mean, when you take out all those people, sure, I'm sure you can get, you know, a lot, some better numbers.
That's the irony of it. Like, there's six unemployment numbers, by the way. There's a U1, 2, 3. The street, Wall Street and the media uses U3, which you're referring to. It's the stupidest one. You know,
that's why they use it.
I always tell people, just imagine if you're on a deserted island, 10 people survive a shipwreck. You're on a deserted island. You don't know when you're going to be, you know, whenever they're going to find you, right? And so, you know, you say, well, everyone gets a task. And, you know, two of them are, you know, kind of hurt or whatever. They can't do work. So 8 out of 10 are working. So you got 80% working. And then the two who have been hurt or whatever, you know, they heal up, but they say, we just refuse to work. Well, they were not counting you anymore in the workforce. Now we're 100% employed on the island, right? Even though those two still exist, they have to eat. Someone's got to feed them. You know, they refuse to work. But according to the rules of this BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, now the island has a 100% employment rate. You know, so that's the smoke and mirrors part of it. And there's so many parts of this that are smoke and mirrors. I want to tell you one other thing that really people need to understand. These are surveys, right? So they send these surveys out and to the so-called businesses and households. On the business side, only 43% of the people who got the survey bothered to even fill it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the record was like in 73%, you know, in the 70%, 73%, 75% used to fill it out. So we're talking about a flawed report to begin with, and it's a thin report. You can't, you know, analytically, you can't make a judgment on just a small sample size. So this thing is so whacked. I mean, it is so messed up. I can't even begin to tell you. But the problem is that the Federal Reserve looks at it, you know, Wall Street looks at it, yada, yada. So it has an impact on policy. I think it has an overarching, too much of an impact on policy because it's extraordinarily flawed.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a great point. Too much of an impact on policy because it's so flawed. We're talking with our friend Charles Payne. So basically, it looks like more people left the labor force than actually entered it. That's ultimately what we got.
You had 90,000 people change in the labor force, right? So up 90,000 is such a weak number. It's such a weak number because the STEMI money is out. If anything, that number should be significantly higher. People need to be out there looking for a job. You need to be out there looking for a job. I don't know how we pull it off. Honestly, I don't know how this nation keeps pulling it off. I do know there's a gazillion programs out there. I mean, I know people. I have family members who, as adults, have never worked. You know, not many, but, you know, I do know they exist. From somehow they get a check from this organization and that thing and this thing. And, you know, they go from week to week to month to year to year to decade. And, you know, but that's not who we are as a nation. We don't want to become that nation.
No, we don't. And now we've got all the student loan repayment that has to apparently that's all kicking in. All of this stuff is just it's like a perfect storm of everything bad. And then we got people out there who not looking for jobs. We're talking with our friend Charles Payne. I wanted to ask you as well. Saw this from Markets Insider. I know you're going to talk about this. Collapse in Treasury bonds now ranks amongst the worst market crashes in history, talking about the losses seen. They're comparing it to when the dot-com bubble burst. Talk to us a little bit about this.
So people buy these government bonds, and they're guaranteed, but you hold them for a long time, right? You may hold them for 10 right. years, 20 years, 30 years. And so, you know, if you hold it to maturity, you get your money back, and you get the yields, right, the coupons. But here's the problem. They go up and down in value. And this is what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. They had all of these bonds, but they weren't worth anything. Like, if you have to sell your bond now, it's worth about 80 cents on a dollar.
Oh.
So when people wanted money from Silicon Valley Bank and they didn't have any money, they just had these bonds, they had to go bankrupt because they couldn't raise the money they needed. So right now the paper losses on these things, I lost track. It's something absurd. I mean, really, it's a number that you wouldn't believe me if I told you, like, the banks are sitting on these paper losses. And the problem is people are taking money out of banks, so banks are under pressure. People are saying to banks, hey, if you can't give me a money market or a CD paying 5%, I'll take it out and put it somewhere else. And so smaller banks are really feeling the strain of that. And so, yeah, the loss is really is absurd. But I think what we want to get to is the main reason why these yields keep going up. And this is what I'm kind of sensing is interesting, Dana, because now I'm hearing more and more Wall Street economists talk about this. And by the way, that I know who are left-leaning. Okay. Now they're saying fiscal spending is out of control. And here's your problem. Because your biggest buyers for our bonds, historically, in the last 20 years, in the last 10 years, China was number one, but they've been selling like crazy. Japan has moved into number one. But Japan, they have their own bonds, and they're letting those yields go up. So now if you're Japanese, instead of buying U.S., you may just say, let me stay at home. The Federal Reserve is the number one buyer, but they're not buying anymore. Saudi Arabia has been selling like crazy. So all your major buyers, and even banks, all your major buyers of bonds are not around, but the government needs to raise money. We've $2 trillion since the debt ceiling removed. I mean, this is nuts, right? The amount of money the government is raising right now is like $200 billion almost a day. The numbers are just hard for me to acknowledge or even try to share with people. But so here's the thing. It's for me to get you to buy these bonds, I have to make the yield has to go up to make them attractive. And we know economics 101, supply and demand. If there's too much supply, the price, right, will have to be adjusted. So the bonds are going to go down, and the yields are going to go up, and it hurts everybody. And you know who it hurts more than anybody else with these interest rates and these yields? It's poor people. You know, I mean, we have the highest credit card interest payments in history. But if you're a rich person and you actually invest in bonds, you're doing pretty good. So rich people are doing okay, poor people aren't, and somehow the Federal Reserve thinks it's going to break the back of the economy by this strategy. Unfortunately, they don't have a choice if Joe Biden keeps spending money, which he won't. By the way, Joe Biden and the Republicans, right?
Yeah, true. I mean, like, true. That's, you know, right. That is right.
You removed the debt ceiling, and it's been a free-for-all. Since they removed the debt ceiling, it's been a free-for-all. A free-for-all, a crazy free-for-all.
Yeah. If only someone whose name rhymed with Schmarls, Maine, warned everyone that, you know, this was going to happen, you know, like back before it all went down. Good heavens. Charles Payne, Making Money with Charles Payne. You can watch him on Fox Business, and make sure you do. One of my favorite people, 2 to 3 Eastern. We so appreciate you breaking this down for us.
I love coming on with you. Thank you.
Of course. Take care. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Of course, we got more in store. Yeah, that's if only people were told, hey, guess what? When you raise the debt ceiling and then you have an out of control administration that wants to spend and then, by the way, cringes upon a mention of any tax cut or anything like that. Guess what? Guess what's going to happen? Oh, this is what's going to happen.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sands through the hourglass. So are the days of the United States.
President, you started your remarks here today by saying it was good news today with the economic report. Why do you think most people still don't feel positive or feel good news about the economy?
Well, first of all, you just heard the news today, too. They haven't heard it. I think the people, those 300 plus thousand people who got jobs, feel better about the economy. I got to choose my words here.
Because I don't have many.
You all are not the happiest people in the world. What's your report? And I mean it sincerely. It gets you get more legs when you're reporting something that's negative. I don't mean you're picking on me, or I'm just the nature of things. You turn on the television, and there's not a whole lot about boy saves dog as he swims in the lake, you know, to say, you know, it's about, you know, somebody pushed the dog in the lake. I mean, I get it.
Or somebody kicked their dog who bit some people. Oh, he's like thinking.
If you just.
I thought he froze.
Listen.
I thought the tape froze.
What's going on.
He just literally froze. I was like, oh, I guess it's done. Just stopped. No. He just literally froze in place. That's your president, our president. Some people just, you know, kick the dog in the lake. It's probably you. I mean, we all saw that video of him getting caught up in that leash. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I mean, I am kind of just, what with this? This is kind of crazy. He says that the media is reporting on things that, well, A, they like drama, but also B, because things are bad, dude. They're bad. Look at the choices that you're making here. We're going to talk about some of them coming up, some more of them. I mean, law and order from this party, the jobs data, overcooked propaganda. I mean, you got banks bracing for a recession. We were just talking to Charles Payne about all that. I mean, this is just crazy. And then, of course, you have now he has to pause and I have to choose my words carefully. He's got to build, Kane, a vertical structure like barrier-like structure in the bordery region that's not a wall that the money is making them build. So we've got that. Coming up, we're going to talk with our very good friend Thomas Massey. He's actually one of I want him to be my friend. I like him. And there's only like quite literally maybe four lawmakers, if I include Jim Jordan, that I could say that about. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jim Jordan maybe possibly being House Speaker, but you got to get to 218. And I would love to have Jim Jordan as a House Speaker, but the problem is I don't know if he can get to 218. I don't know if anybody can get to 218. That's the issue here, because Democrats hate super conservative Republicans. And you only have a 5-seat majority in the House. So this is where it gets tough. It's going to be tough. But we're gonna talk to him about all of that. So you don't want to miss. And then also later coming up, my friend Kurt Schlichter will join us in some of this stuff too. Everybody's a rhino. Everyone is and no one is. You, everyone is and no one is, all at the same time. And then, of course, we've got some cultural issue. And can we please, for the love, have a conversation for real about this? Let me pull this up. This dude right here. The guys. Have you guys heard of who's this dude? It's the principal deputy communications director for Secretary of Interior, Deb Haaland. Now, Kane and I have running commentary on his appearance. I can say that because I'm from the Ozarks, so I can say this. I can talk about this guy's appearance. I'm just saying, I mean, he looks like he's going to touch your privates. That's all I'm saying. Stay with us.
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a broken promise. But additionally, let's say you completely disagree on this. You could build a great big Trumpy wall on the entire U.S. southern border, and it's still not going to fix this problem. And I'll tell you why. The U.S. and U.S. foreign policy is contributing to the displacement of millions of people in South America to begin with. And if we do not address the migrant crisis at its root, it is still going to continue to be a problem. And if you have the displacement of millions of people, it is going to continue to destabilize the entire region.
Oh my gosh, just drink. Jeez. Oh, wait, she's in Concord. Welcome back to the show's top of the second hour. Dana Lash here, that's AOC. I'm trying to understand that logic. I love people who have just enough of an idea as to what's going on with regards to international policy or economic policy, and then they think that they can just knit these statements together and have them make sense. You know what I mean? This is so goofy. It's idea scrabble. Welcome back to the show. You can listen across the country. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. The big Trumpy wall. Can I just start there for a moment? What is that supposed to look like? Does it tell you you're fired when you walk past it? Is it orange? Like, what is it? What is that? What does that mean? The big Trump, is Letitia James after it? What is it? What's the big Trumpy wall mean? What's that? Trumpy. But it's not a wall, though. Guys, remember, Mayorkas said that you guys took him out of context. You mean, evil people. It is just, I reiterate, Kane, it is just a wall-esque vertical barrier-like structure in the general border-ish region. How's that?
That clears it up.
Mic drop. Golly, these people. So she says it doesn't matter because our economic policy is contributing to that. How? You mean the idea that you're going to keep the border open so that cartels can bring people across, they can earn money here and send it back? That's what you're talking about? Because that I would agree with. But, you know, she's not talking about that. We got Thomas Massey coming up. We're going to talk about some of that. Well, we're going to ask him questions. This is what we're going to do. All the questions you want to know. I really got to talk about this story. This has nothing to do with politics. So we're going to have a little palate cleanser here. But you need to know about this because it's so ridiculous. You're probably not going to believe me. It is just in time for spooky season, man. Oh, wait, you can't say that. That's not actually the story I was going to talk about. You can't say that anymore. It's spooky season. It has to be spooky season. I swear to you, that's true. Kane's about to die. I'm like, how can I make you spit water all over your workstation? So, let's see. How can I do this? How are we going to? So here's a fun little story just in time for Halloween that I saw on the Webernets. Are you ready? Here's from the Associated Press. Oh, get ready for this one, guys. Get ready. Chat, get ready. Y'all ready? Okay. Police found at least 115 bodies at a green funeral home that doesn't use embalming chemicals or metal caskets. The mortuary is under investigation for handling human remains improperly. Oh, this is some real Rose for Emily stuff here. So the story, police said Friday they found 115 of these bodies. The Fremont County Sheriff said they're coordinating with other agencies to determine if there's any wrongdoing. The Return to Nature Funeral Home in Penrose, Colorado. Performed green burials without embalming chemicals or metal caskets. The investigation centered on a building owned by the funeral home where local residents reported smelling a foul stench before police became involved. It's not clear if a crime has been committed, says the FBI spokesperson. They say the funeral home operators are cooperating. The law enforcement has been in touch with them. Penrose is a town of about 3,000 people. A hearse parked in the back. Now, under Colorado law, because it's Colorado, green burials are legal. This was a law that was undoubtedly created after pot was legalized. And the state code requires that any body not be buried within 24 hours must be properly refrigerated. Joyce Pavetti, 73, can see the funeral home from the stoop of her house and said she caught whiffs of a putrid smell in the last weeks. Quote, "We just assumed it was a dead animal." No, Joyce. You're smelling a person. Oh, my gosh. Now, this is, it gets better. I mean, worse. I don't mean to. This is so appropriate. The building, says the AP, has been occupied by different businesses over the years. Apparently, they offered yoga classes at one point. The yoga classes. Neighbor Ron Alexander thought the smell was coming from a septic tank, adding that the Wednesday night blur of law enforcement lights, quote, looked like the 4th of July. So it's the Return to Nature Funeral Home. So it is the burial of non-embalmed bodies in biodegradable caskets, shrouds, or they just throw you in a pit. Nothing at all. No embalming fluids, no concrete vaults, as natural as possible. You know what they charge for a natural burial? Almost $2,000. That doesn't even include the cost of the casket and cemetery space. They advertise just you and the earth returning to nature. Wait, they're charging you $2,000 for nature? Is that what, like, why can't you just throw somebody out back then? Right?
That's what they're doing.
So they say this, they're very insistent on making this distinction, guys. Quote, the green burial refers to burying bodies that have not yet been embalmed. That's different, they say, from human composting, in which the body is placed in a vessel and transformed into soil. Okay, wait, hold up. Shut up. Shut the front door. You're putting someone in the ground. Again, what did I tell you? Biodegradable casket, shroud or nothing at all. You're just putting them in some dirt so that they can biodegrade, right? The hell do you call that, Kane? How is that not composting?
Composting.
That's composting. No, but it's not composting because we put a shroud. You put some cloth over it. Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You're turning people into dirt still. It's the same thing. This is human composting. How is this any different? Return to nature. This is the biggest grift I've ever seen. $2,000 to return someone to nature. Like, they're dead. What do you have against the fluids in that? Okay, I have a very unpopular opinion. I can't believe I'm talking about this, but we're going to talk about it. I just don't get it. Like, I've always said that I think cemeteries are just wastes of great real estate. I don't get it. Right? You got it. Your shell is put into a box and stuck in the earth. We are weird people. We are a weird species, aren't we?
That we are.
Can you imagine going to a planet and being like, what are all these markers all over in these fields? And then you dig it up. I mean, if you're an alien and It's just weird, right?
I mean, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know. Yeah, well, my mom asked me to do something illegal when she kicks the bucket.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. Okay, so this is what she
you
told me to.
You can't share this on the air then, can
you? Oh, I'm so doing it.
What?
Nobody will know. I didn't say that I would do it either because I just feel like there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So she said she wanted to be cremated, and then I'm supposed to go to this particular bridge over Black River and dump her ashes over. And I'm like, you realize that that's a crime, right? Is it? Yes, you can't just be going and dumping people's ashes wherever.
What? I see videos all the time of people.
Okay, that's
doing
the
that.
Movies in that. You can't look no. it up because like you can get in trouble for that stuff. I didn't know that.
You can?
Yeah.
I
like you can't
that.
Be dumping people into straight up into a waterway.
Wait, like if so if my parents have the same wish, I can't spread their ashes where they want?
I mean, I think within reason, but I think there are certain things. Look, I'm just telling you what the law is. I'm not making a pronouncement about personal thoughts on it. I'm just right. telling you that's what the law is. And then there's also wind gusts. Okay? I'm just saying, a bridge over a river seems like there's going to be some wind there. You know? You see where I'm going with this? Then you get a light dusting of Nana. And she's like, now you better do this. I'm like, what in the world? If you don't have that in writing, chick, it ain't happening. And even then, you can't make me sign. Right? I mean, what is she... If someone... They can't do anything to you after. Look, if anybody was going to get haunted, my grandma would have haunted people. And she didn't haunt nobody, so I don't believe it. Because that woman was... God love her. She is one of my favorite people on the planet. But she had more spite than exists currently in the world. If somebody was going to haunt somebody, it was her. And it didn't happen, so I don't believe it. So there's nothing you can do to me. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. I'm not going to go on a bridge and dump your ashes over and have it all blow up in my face. You know that would happen, Kane. Golly.
Can you imagine if you got a little in your mouth or something like
that? Oh, my gosh. I can't. This is like Big Lebowski. This is just literally like the Big Lebowski. Right. Dang it, it's Donnie's ashes. I can't. Oh my gosh. So anyway, the return to nature. I just feel like this is a major grift because they're saying we're going to throw you into a dirt pit and nature's going to take its course, but that's $2,000, please. Who's to say I can't, you know, I'm going to put up a roadside stand. Return to nature. I'll chuck your loved one up in a pit. I'll chuck them. I'll yeet them into the dirt. And then $1,800, please. See, look, I'm competitive. Got competitive pricing.
It's capitalism.
Right? Capitalism. Yay. Would you, I don't know. Also, I don't like the idea of like going back. You know, I think like when your time's done, you want to be left alone. It's like, get the hell away from my gravestone. Leave me alone.
But I, you know, when I look ahead to my eventual death, I'm not sure I even want this. Like,
you
there
want
are people.
What?
This whole just chucked in a hole thing. Like there are people out there that are just like, they think that this is the natural way to do it.
I have very odd thoughts about funerary stuff. Is that the right way to say it? I don't know.
Probably not.
I just, having been to, you know, have, you got a big family, you go to a lot of them. People kick the bucket. I just don't like it. It's weird to me. And I just don't like, you know, you stick people like into the ground like a time capsule of horror. I just don't. It just doesn't make sense. And it's always like the best real estate too, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even get like my family. Southern Missouri, and I think in southern parts of the country, you'll have your own little family cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy. It's just a little family. It's where everybody sticks their old, you know, grandparents. And ours is on this beautiful hill, which I am not going to go there. It's on this beautiful hill, overlooks the valley, you know, down to southern Missouri. It's very pretty. And I remember at one point, my mom admonished me. She's like, you're being so disrespectful. I had a family member that passed, and my family member, they observed these weird traditions where they junk the graves up with all kinds of trinkets, and it looks like crap. And somebody put literal wind chimes up there. And I'm like, who the hell are these for? You're putting these cheap made-in-China wind chimes up here by somebody's grave. The dead can't hear. This is stupid. And my mom's like, what? Stop. I'm like, it looks so tacky with the fiber optic angel. I mean, what is happening here? This looks like a yard sale, not a cemetery. All right. Anyway, I got to get moving. I had to tell that story to you because this, I had to see this headline. So you had to share into the, you have to partake of the fun also.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a Ring is offering $1 million prize for video proof of aliens and UFOs. In other news, I'm looking for a studio quality alien costume, just for no apparent reason at all, just because. Apparently, the award, $1 million, to anyone who can capture an alien sighting on their Amazon company doorbell camera. It's the $1 million search for extraterrestrials. It's also a way to market and try to get people to get Ring cameras. So you can... You okay over there? Is that the government testing you again? Was it the aliens? Aliens? Got a hat trick this week. 100 years. 100 years, they said, people have been sharing clips of extraterrestrial sightings, so now they want to get in on it. Okay, Kane, this is you. So, this town was tired of replacing its stolen sign, its stolen road sign, several times a year, so now they have to rename it. What's the name of the road, Kane?
Harry is the name, H-A-R-R-Y. Uh-huh. Harry Dick. It's two names.
Okay. I like how you had to put a bunch of words there in between it. That's the name of the road. They said it's stolen over 4 times a year. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And cats apparently can emit fluorescence. Who knew? Congressman Thomas Massey next.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
It's said that the main contenders for his position are Jim Jordan, who you know very well from Benghazi.
Oh, I don't know him well. I watched him and stared at him for 11 hours while he made stuff up about me. So I don't know him, but I've seen him in action.
Someone is salty. All these flavors, and you choose salty. Hillary Clinton, very upset about Jim Jordan. He made stuff up about me for 11 hours. Well, she's going to be happier, I'm sure, now that his name's being floated for House Speaker, and he says that he would do it. So what is happening with this? There, I told you yesterday, there are literally 3 people in the House that I like, and Thomas Massey is chief amongst them, and the congressman joins us now. Seems like he's in his beautiful home in Kentucky, although if that was my yard, I would probably just like pretend I was there all the time and have that be all my wallpaper in my office. Congressman, it's good to see you. Is that a real thing? Could Jim Jordan be Speaker of the House?
I think he can. People have asked, why wouldn't he run before? And I think it wasn't his time before, but I think this is his time. He's a former coach, and I've served with him on the Oversight Committee. I've served with him on the Judiciary Committee. If you watch some of these hearings, we pass the ball in Judiciary Committee. Like, usually in these committees, they go by seniority. And they would never let a freshman ask a question before somebody who's been there 20 years. Jim Jordan finds out what questions you want to ask. And if you've got the better question, you go first, even if you're a freshman. So, and then even though Matt Gaetz and I are kind of on the different sides of things
you're
this
being,
week.
Look at you.
Well, I yield Matt Gaetz time in Judiciary Committee if he's got a better question than me or more insight into it. But that's because Jim Jordan fosters that kind of cooperation. And I think he could do what he does in Judiciary Committee and what he's done in Oversight Committee and do that in the House of Representatives and make everybody a better version of the representation they provide their people.
So you believe that he can get the magical 218 vote number?
I think the Trump endorsement was a shot in the arm and a very helpful thing. But Jordan was, I would put him neck and neck with Scalise before that endorsement happened. By the way, I am making calls for Jim Jordan. When I get off of your show, I will be calling more of my colleagues and, hey, where are you at on this? Can you go public? Okay, you got to stay quiet. All right, appreciate it, but we can count on your vote. And here's the thing to understand. This is going to be a secret ballot. Unless it goes to the floor and there's a floor fight, which we would hope to avoid because there were 15 rounds of that last time, we would hope that we could all get together in a conference, agree that even though we weren't unanimous there in voting for our person, if our person got a large majority of the conference, that we would then go to the floor and vote for that person. But if it goes the way we want it to, you won't know who your member of Congress voted for. There'll be no evidence. He could tell you later on, and he may tell you he voted for the winner.
We're talking with
Congressman. He's going to tell the winner that.
We're talking with Congressman Thomas Massie. That's interesting because I know Scalise is running as well, and I like Congressman Scalise. But in terms of voting record and position, he's more in line with a McCarthy as opposed to more conservative. Is that really that big of a change with speakership from a McCarthy to a Scalise?
Well, by the way, if Scalise ascends to speaker from majority leader, presumably the rest of the leadership team moves up one notch. And, you know, I like all of those people, but that's just the way Washington, D.C. works. You know, one person goes out of the lineup and they just move everybody up a notch. And I think it's time to get some new blood in there. You know, Jim Jordan is nowhere in that leadership hierarchy right now, all the way down to executive vice deputy prom queen. I mean, we've got positions in leadership I didn't know existed. And Jim Jordan is in none of those positions. So this would be great. It would be an injection of new leadership, not just moving everybody up one. And by the way, I love Steve Scalise too. He's a hero. I mean, he took a bullet and survived. And he's great. And honestly, the ideology, even though if you look at their record and Jim Jordan is more conservative based on voting, ideology really shouldn't matter in the speaker's position. It should be more about your ability to bring the whole conference together.
That's interesting.
Because you're going to have to get 222 people. You're going to have to get 218 of them to agree on something.
Yeah. And that's we're talking with Congressman Thomas Massie of the beautiful state of Kentucky. And that, I think, is what a lot of people, because, you know, not everybody is as nerdy into politics as we are. I mean, obviously, you're a lawmaker. Not everybody's as nerdy into politics as, you know, all of the, you know, the regular listeners of the show and watchers of the simulcast who can across the country. So they think, I get the idea that some people might think, we'll just put the most conservative person in there. And I love that idea, but you got a slim 5-seat majority. So you do have to deal with the cards that you're dealt. Do you think, based on that, the Democrats in the House, how much more does that make it more difficult for Republicans in the House? I mean, I love Jim Jordan. This is why I like him. He just doesn't play and he doesn't like, he's just not going to, has no tolerance for any kind of shenanigans. Democrats love shenanigans. How is that going to, how's that going to work?
You know, I think it's going to work. And I'll tell you why. Jim Jordan has signed up for the Massie plan, okay?
Yes.
The Massie plan was a way to get past this shutdown, should it, you know, and I floated it this time last year, you know, when we were in the midst of this and the Democrats were in control, and I tweeted this. I said, when we get control of the House, we need to do all 12 separate bills, but if the Senate doesn't take up our 12 bills, we've got to have a fallback position. And I said that should be a CR at 95% funding. Now, I would be happy to shut the government down. Like, tell me which part you want me to shut down. But we've got 222 people in our conference, and some of them were elected in districts that Joe Biden won by 10 points, but they won. And they feel like if they can't win their reelection, and we'll go in the minority. So they get a little nervous when we go into a shutdown situation. Right. So instead of having this apocalyptic shutdown that forces people to have two bad choices, either an omnibus or shutdown, I said, let's have a different choice. Let's just automatically cut government if we get to that point and we haven't decided. That way, you know, it's not enough to make everybody panic, and it's not enough to force us into submission to do unnatural things at the last minute. And actually, Kevin had agreed to that in the January deal. He said, if we get to October 1st, I agree. And this was a concession that we got from him. He agreed to do a CR at 98% if we got to October 1st and hadn't resolved this with the Senate. Now, somehow all this got twisted this summer, and people were saying that Kevin broke the deal when we got to the end and we didn't have our bills done, he put a CR on the floor that funded government 92% with a border security package in it. And conservatives said, nope, not good enough. We're going to vacate you. And that's what I think is a little disingenuous here. The CR was actually, the CR with the cut in it was our idea, and that we got him to agree to in January.
Interesting. And that's a good point that you make, talking with Congressman Thomas Massie of the beautiful state of Kentucky, who, by the way, hasn't voted for some of the omnibus stuff that some of the people talking about principles with spending have voted for. Just kind of wanted to put that out there because it is facts. And we are conservatives. We also believe in two genders. So we believe in facts like this. Because we still have the shutdown that's still looming. It's like, what, 40 days away now?
Yeah.
The shutdown still looming. Do you think that, and I realize that we've got to go through getting a speaker because everything else is kind of frozen until that time, but with the back and forth and Democrats obviously loving the divide that they see in the Republican Party, do you think that the party is going to be able to put a show of togetherness enough to choose and elect a speaker and be able to get anywhere near as conservative a proposal as what you were just talking about?
Well, here's the good news, Dana. I was called a sellout this summer because I did vote for the debt limit deal, but I got a provision in there that's still there, even though Kevin McCarthy is gone. Joe Biden signed into law an automatic 1% cut in spending on January 1st that happens if we're on a CR when we get to January 1st.
So that's why you traded that to yes. That's why. Okay. Interesting.
And that was long ago, and nobody ever thought we'd get to January 1st and be on a CR. But you know what? We're 45 days closer to January 1st. If they do another CR, if they did a CR, for instance, that lasted a year, they're going to get an automatic cut next year. Now, it triggers on January, and they have to start moving the money around like March or April. But it's retroactive back to October 1st. So that if they spend the next 6 months spending what they've been spending and we hit this speed bump that I put in the debt limit deal, Kevin McCarthy got Joe Biden to agree to it, then they got to cut 2% for the remaining 6 months of the year to make up for the money they spent since October 1st. And this is in law. Like, I couldn't believe this was in the debt limit. People like poo-pooed it. But frankly, it's what we've got now. And I think if Jim Jordan is speaker, he can leverage that 1% cut to get the Democrats and some of our Republicans who don't like an indiscriminate cut to come to the table and do the 12 bills where we cut, you know, where we decide what to cut instead of an indiscriminate cut. So even 12 bills at a 1% cut. And by the way, it's a real 1% cut. You know, in Washington, D.C., Matt.
It's not for future fund. It's not for right. future funding. It's like right now money right. cut.
Yeah, they build a 6% increase into the budget. And so then when they cut it, when they only increase 5%, they'll call that a 1% cut. That's not the way this cut works. This is a 1% cut off of last year's number, not some projected growth number. So Jordan's got that in there, that little speed bump to motivate Democrats, Schumer to come to the table and Biden to deal because Kevin actually got that in the debt limit deal.
And when you're looking at hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, that 1% and 2% and 3% that starts adding up.
Yes, it's a cut to everything. Like, I mean, I'm going to tell you, too, it's a cut to military. So some of our folks aren't going to like that. It's going to be hard to hold the conference together when we go over even just a speed bump. But that's what will motivate people, hopefully, to come to the table and do 12 separate bills without losing our minds.
And we have about, 30 seats in the House in districts that are pretty competitive coming up this election cycle. So that makes it a little, really, the pressure's on. I mean, the pressure is really on, and it's going to be difficult to keep that together. And that's going to be the task that Jim Jordan has. I know Jim Jordan got Ron DeSantis's. It looks like I think he got Ron DeSantis's endorsement as well as a number of other individuals. But I so appreciate you explaining that to everybody because, you know, like, and this is not an insult to people watching the show. And you know this as well as anybody. I mean, people are busy. They're busy working off to pay that $127 billion student loan stuff that Joe Biden just, quote unquote, forgave, like he's the Lord or something. You know, he just forgave it. And people, you know, and we were just talking on break about the debt clock. You said that when I saw this. What in spring that it is? I'm terrified. Even look at what the number is. I don't even know if I want.
Well, here I'm going to hold it up.
This is a horror show right here. This number. This is the scariest thing you're going to see this month for spooky season. He made that. He probably went to like Ace Hardware and Joanne's Crafts and just did that in like 15 minutes. His debt clock.
It actually took me 45 hours to write all the code that makes this work. It goes to Treasury's website once a day, downloads the actual debt to the penny and the debt per second so that it can calculate it on weekends and holidays when Treasury's not working, but the money's being spent.
See, this is why you want him in charge of our money. Congressman Thomas Massey, always appreciate talking with you. Thank you so much for your fight and for being so transparent for everybody and being principled. We so appreciate it.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. He said 45 hours writing that code. 45. What I'm trying to think what I spent 45 hours on. That was as cool as that. I don't know. That's the guy you want in charge of your money. I just got to say. That was very insightful. We'll have that interview up on YouTube as well. And you can go back and you can catch it. And look, if you want to go over some of the stuff he said.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, 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 let's go see what the sanest people in the world are up to right now. Oh, yes, yeah, sanest, considering everything that's happening in D.C. All right, so first up, it's a brawl at McD's, or as my grandmother would say, McDonald's, the McDonald's. A Florida man attacked a disabled customer during a dispute at McDonald's. Dude's straight up in a wheelchair. It happened just this week. Spitting punches flying and a drink thrown. And by the way, people who write stories, please do better jobs. I don't want to hear about, oh, he just self-control for the both of them. No joke. Tell us what happened. So basically, there was a disabled dude and a 22-year-old Florida man ended up attacking him. And they said that they've asked this guy to leave before because he gets belligerent with the workers and the staff. And the manager tried to separate the men. They said that the woman who's the manager said that the customer yelled her and called her names. And apparently that's the way it all started. And there was a disabled man there. And I guess he spoke up because the article is so poorly written. They don't actually explain like how he got involved. But then they said Andrew Childers is the guy who was the perpetrator here, 22 years old, spit on the disabled man and then threw a drink at the guy. And then bystander said Childers was just standing up for his mom, and he was arrested by the sheriff 2 days later in North Fort Myers. And by the way, so WESH needs to make sure that Sarah Mankiewicz writes better pieces, because I would flunk this chick right out of my J school class. That's that bad. It's one of the worst written stories I've ever heard. Like, please learn how how to write a piece. Miami Herald, a Florida fireman was cleaning a skillet, authorities say. Suddenly, things escalated. What? Because they got into a fight over how to clean a cast iron skillet. They were saying you can't use dish soap because it takes the seasoning out of the pan and causes rust. There is a way to clean it, but you do clean the skillet. You do clean cast iron skillets. You just got to be careful with how you do it. Stay with us.
Right, the illegal. Right now, Brandon Johnson and the Democrats are criminals. You're not getting up guards from smoking and drugs and trafficking people across the thing. The drag government's doing it. Right now.
Right.
We're going to sue the bosses. We're going to sue the Democrats as civilians, because government is the agents representing the people they voted for. The agents. I'm a sports agent. If I don't have represent my clients, they fire me. Yeah. It's time to fire. Don't let the Democrats have that stupid convention her next year.
That's it.
Enough's enough.
That's it.
All I see, right? All I see, right? Is the citizens of Chicago marching to the gas chamber. Ever since these scumbags came across the border.
Ooh. Ooh. A Chicago resident went off on city officials over the crisis with illegal immigrants coming into the city. Man, I felt that, man. I felt that. That politician, oh my gosh. You see how uncomfortable that man it was? You could see his little hands gripping the side of that lectern. Man, that man was uncomfortable. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour on Friday. Getting you set up for the week. They are livid. So this is why you got, just FYI, this is why you got Joe Biden not building the wall, but a structural barrier-esque kind of thing in the bordery region. because of this. Like, they got to move. They got, you know, did you see all this? Let me pull this up because I got this in 26 federal laws are waiving. It includes a bunch of environmental stuff, too. They're redoing the thing that they canceled. So when they sit here and tell you, oh, no, no, we got to do it because the, you know, the money is there. We got to do it because that's where the money is. The money, you know, the money's making us have to do this. So that's, but they shut, the money was there in the first place. They just shut it all down. Now they're just restarting it again. So don't buy that lie. But they're, like, for instance, they're waiving all these statutes that are involved with the Clean Air Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act to make way for construction. And they're using the stuff from a 2019 congressional appropriation for the construction. So that was the 2019 appropriation, because they say, oh, well, the money's there and we have to use it. We've tried to have it reappropriated elsewhere. That's not necessarily true. They literally stopped the program. They stopped it. They could still have it stopped. They just needed an excuse. So they want a message to their base and their Democrat leaders. They want a message to them like, well, look, this is, we're getting you relief. You're getting relief. But at the same time, they are also trying to cover their backsides with the far left voting base in their party by saying that there was, you know, there's nothing we could do. Our hands are tied. But it's not a wall. Don't call it that. Those are lies. Those are absolute lies. So they're waiving this. And these were things that they had previously cited the last time during the last administration when they were trying to get this law built, especially when they were looking at some of the clean air stuff, some of the environmental statutes. For instance, they have the Lower Rio Grande Valley National Wildlife Refuge and a couple of these other areas where they had protested having this built, where they didn't want to have this built because they said, oh, you're hurting the waterways, or you're hurting this, or you're hurting some weird bird species thing, which that's still wasn't even accurate. So it's adding 20, apparently the construction, it's described as piecemeal, and it's supposed to add an additional 20 miles to the existing border barrier system. I love how they're doing everything that they can to not say it's a wall. God love it. It's so funny. The barrier system, Kane. Yeah. You mean the wall? No, no, no. No, it's, no, don't call it a wall. It is a system barrier thing is what it is. That's, you know, just
different.
Yeah. Just in the border region. So they said that it's apparently starting south of one of the dams there, the Falco Dam. And they said that some of the areas that they're looking at, it's pretty erosive, and that they have creeks that go in and out through ranch land and all of that stuff. And so they said that, you know, this is running through public lands and all this. This was such a big deal with the left who kept trying to say that this was, they couldn't, because of all of these things, there was no way they could consider doing this. But now, oh, who cares about biological diversity? We're going to waive this. Who cares about, you know, the ocelot? You don't know what an ocelot is, Kane?
No, what is it?
It is a species of spotted wild cat.
Oh.
Yes, the ocelot. Yeah. And then don't forget the endangered plants.
Yeah.
It's not like you can move them somewhere. It's that they're endangered, you know. So 20 miles, it looks like they're going to do. But don't call it a wall. This is why he's doing it, because that resident right there, the residents are putting pressure on the Democrat politicians who were freaking out because they just don't know what it's what it is. So now they've got to get some kind of relief somewhere. And so here's what we're doing. I'm telling you what. Now, a couple of other things to hit with this topic. I'm sure you guys saw this as well. This is the Boston Herald. Remember me telling you this about Massachusetts? There's all kinds of stuff happening. Well, now you got the Army-Navy game that was at Gillette Stadium because they canceled all these reservations for these hotel rooms around the Army-Navy game to make way for housing illegal immigrants. Travel agents who handle the hotel rooms for military families said at least that, well, one agent said at least 70 of his rooms were taken back by hotel management because they got contracted to put illegal immigrants to house them there. It's Mark Mansbach of Hillsdale Travel. He legit went on record. He was like, this is correct. I have enough rooms to cover some of the people. He goes, pricing's high. He goes, and for a lot of people, it's an issue of safety as well. He said that, you know, because you have people who nobody really knows who they are, where they came from, and they're going to be here with a lot of these families, you know, because they've contracted with the government to be there. And like, because they keep thinking, well, at what, like, who's paying for all of this? Because they get it for free, essentially. I mean, they get it for free. These are free. They put these illegal immigrants there, and then the prices are raised for everybody else. This is just wild. Just absolutely wild. Now you can see why Democrats are moving to this, why they're doing this. This is why they're moving to this. They're building the structure. Can we got to talk about? Hang on. I want to make sure I get this guy. Oh, so Kane, Mr. Tyler Cherry.
Yeah.
You guys know who he is? You guys ever heard of Tyler Cherry?
Not Tyler Perry.
No, not Tyler Perry. Tyler Cherry.
Yeah.
Is that his actual real name?
It appears to be.
Is it though? So he is the spokesperson for the Secretary of the Interior. And he has a very interesting history. He promoted the Russian hoax. He said healthcare was racist and transphobic. He's a big pronoun promoter. Everybody's racist. Like some of his tweets say things like, he says that queer people of color, there's the intersectional role that plays out in police brutality in healthcare. What? And then he demands that people ask what your preferred gender pronouns are before assuming. Oh my gosh. He's got some very weird pictures. He also has the rural meth mullet.
Yes, he does.
Let's be honest about what it is, okay? He's got the haircut. Everybody knows. Y'all know this. Like, come on. Like, Ozark's here, so we all know. So this feller has one of them haircuts, Kane, that he looks like he's someone's grown 40-something-year-old son who got involved in the meth, still involved in the meth, and deals prescription pain medicine out the back of the Quick Mart while his Aunt Tonda works. That's what it looks like, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. He's that dude. Do they have like a free quota that they got to have for these positions in the White House? So he's like literally the deputy communications director for the interior. And remember, Deb Haaland was on record as to not knowing how much property China owned in the United States. Remember that? That was a shining moment for her. So he's all over. I just think if you're going to be in government, maybe don't post photos of your fetish nights on X or Twitter.
You know this guy, he started his career as a campaigns associate at Media Matters for America.
Of course he did. That makes so much sense. I always say that Media Matters are basically just George Soros lotion boys. This makes all the sense.
That's exactly right. And he interned at the Center for American Progress.
Oh, so. All the sense in the world. Like he's in a skirt and a mesh top, a mesh crop top in one.
Sounds about right.
The only people who should wear crop tops are like if you've got the abs to wear them, if you're a woman, or if you're a college or high school football player. And then they wear those in the 80s over their pads or something like that.
Yes.
And then because the over the football pads. Otherwise, why are you wearing a crop top? It don't make no sense. It's stupid. I don't get it.
So he does have cat lady vibes too. He apparently lives in D.C. now with his husband and two exuberant
cats. He also has veneers that are bigger than his actual jaw structure. I don't get this. Like, if you're going to do veneers, make them fit your face. Otherwise, I'm looking at giant Tic Tacs. He's got like the giant fun, giant Tic Tac teeth. Chiclets. Yeah, they're chiclet teeth. Like, for real. Like, his teeth, actually, his two front teeth are the size of like two chiclets put together. I mean, this is crazy. And they're all the same size. Everywhere else, they're all the same size. I mean, just, that doesn't even look natural. What is up with the veneer thing? And then people can't talk in them. It's weird. Anyways, they're like lips get stuck on them. They can't talk. All right, we got more to come. I just want to know why this guy's in there. Why? Between him and the nuclear twink, I mean, good night. All right, we got more to come. We got Kurt Schlichter is going to be joining us. We should ask him about Tyler Cherry. I'm sure that'll be... I just want to see what happens.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, curious about this. Earth is hit by a blast of energy from a dead star so powerful that scientists can't explain it. It was a space slap. Highest energy gamma rays emitted by a pulsar called Vela that's 1,000 light years away. Intense gamma rays detected using a vast system of telescopes in Namibia that would sizzle us to a crisp were we exposed to them. They originate from the Vela pulsar around 1,000 light years from Earth. I don't know why I'm reading it like this. It's because it's Friday. I accidentally, on purpose, had a little sugar earlier. Very susceptible to that. So it's a little crazy. They said that we would be totally fried Phantom of the Opera face style. And they don't know why. Who cares? It's just some freaky stuff out there, man. There's some scary stuff out in space. Apparently rock concerts are tame now. The Wall Street Journal says you can thank Gen Z. Gen Z, they're not, they're very different from Gen X. I didn't know, I mean, they really are, so they're not really like, I didn't even know they didn't sell beer in that at college games, which I guess would make sense, you know, but still. Let's see, this, 71% don't trust the U.S. government to prevent doomsday. Is that shocking to anybody though, really? Because I think I don't trust them to do anything, much less this. This is what it's a study, came out. Most people do not trust the American government on something like that. Oh, nobody, no, of course we don't. Of course we don't. We totally don't. Also, I'm going to go back up to, because there's a couple I didn't get up here. Starbucks is closing 7 San Francisco locations amid a crime wave, but they swear that it's unrelated to crime, although it's totally because of crime. 7 locations in San Francisco. 97% of their restaurants, this is wild, listen, 97% of the restaurants have experienced graffiti, crime, something like that, vandalism. That's just in the past month. 97%. That's crazy. That's San Francisco. Gosh, makes you want to go there on vacation, right? Go there for a weekend. So I mentioned this. Cats apparently are among mammals that can emit fluorescence. I knew they were weird. They said that fluorescent compounds were found in their both bone, teeth, claws, fur, feathers, and skin. Wait, feathers? It's a cat. What's wrong with you, ABC? Kurt Schlichter up next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. So, you know, it's spooky season. Wait, you can't say that because everything is politically correct. So it's spooky season. And, you know, you got to play some Werewolf in London. As soon as my birthday happens and then we roll into October, you have to start playing the Spooky Season soundtrack. You have to. We have to play our Halloween music. So welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show as well. There's a new book out that you have to read, and you need to spend a lot of time on page 99 going into 100, particularly page 100. The book, if you have not seen it yet, and because of page 100, it's guaranteed to be I think maybe number two after the Bible, Kane, of the most sold books in the country. It is called Overlord. It's the People's Republic series. It's the latest Kelly Turnbull novel by our friend Kurt Schlichter. And Kurt, it's good to see you. And in your wise literary genius, page 100. I mean, I don't think anybody can touch you, man. Just got to say it.
I wrote that part. It's a small cameo from The Lash Family. And I just thought it was the funniest damn thing I ever wrote. Because it's so... what people don't understand about you and Chris, because Chris is part of the cameo, is how resolutely normal you are. Now, we've been friends for a long time. I've been to your house. And I swear, guys, this is true. I'm sitting there. We're talking about this, talking about that, you know, talking about some business things. And Dana's like, Kurt, do you like cookies? I'll make you cookies. I'm going to go make cookies. I mean, you guys are just such normal people. And page 99-100, there's a lot of cameos in that.
There are. The most important is us, though. That's the most important.
The most important
thing
is yours.
And can I also add that I feel like, you know, it's very, what makes literature even more awesome is when it turns into something full life. And there is something in here about a full-grown Komodo dragon in my possession.
Yes. Yes.
That I thought, you know, that actually would be really cool to have. I don't know if it's legal, but who cares?
Your hubby Chris and I are very similar people, and a Komodo dragon is one of my favorite creatures. And I was like, we got to work the Komodo dragon into this novel of America split into red and blue with guns and liberals and dogs.
We're in the red part, right?
Dana and Chris, and we're going to have a Komodo dragon involved. It's going to work. And it worked.
It worked. I mean, I see all the literary awards here just on, you know, these couple of pages alone. So, I mean, you know, the other pages are sure going to push it into the stratosphere. And folks, you can get it. You can go to Amazon and get it right now as well. Overlord, the Kelly Turnbull novel. All right. So we're in the red part, right? Because this takes place in Dallas, which I'm assuming is still in the red part of the red and blue country.
Dallas is the capital of red America in the Kelly Turnbull novels. And this is number 8. I've written 8 of them. This one talks a little more about what happens in red America. So I spent a lot of time talking about what happens in blue America, but what happens in red America, and I think there's some serious stuff there, because red America is not perfect. And as we've seen in the last week, even among our side, there can be perhaps foolish actions, people not thinking things through, people making bad choices, people maybe not acting for the greater good, but for their personal aggrandizement. And I think Overlord catches that. I think it's, you know, everything is not black and white. Yeah. And everything's not, you know, it's not perfect.
Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of people, you were mentioning, we're talking with our friend Kurt Schlichter, you know, about there's a little fight in the people's house. You know, and people say it's like a family fight. And I get that. You know, I mean, everybody's had family fights. I remember one time we had a family wedding and there was a family member that drank too much and fell down on the dance floor and threw up on their shoes as the bride and groom were getting ready to cut the cake. That happens. That kind of happened in the house. That's the same thing.
A little bit. I think some people soiled themselves this week. I think some people didn't think things through. But look, the Republican Party is changing. This is not the Republican Party. Even when we started with Andrew, 15 years ago or so, it's a very different Republican Party, in large part because of Andrew. But that's a different discussion. And we've got to work this stuff out. I mean, you've got two sides with very different views on a lot of issues, like Ukraine. There are people I really respect who
that are wrong.
Ukraine and people who don't.
That are right, like us.
I've changed. I actually trained Ukrainian soldiers.
Yes, you did.
I worked with Ukrainian soldiers overseas. I would rather the Ukrainians win this, but I'm not Ukrainian, Dana. Right. I'm American. What's going to work for America and is spending a ton of money over there, prolonging a struggle, which is killing a bunch of young Ukrainians. They're going to run out of
Ukraine. Generation.
They're going to, and keep in mind, Ukrainian dudes are tough and ladies too, because they're out there. They will fight. They are not sissies. Well, I mean, there are some who ran out of their country and left to fight. I mean, if somebody was invading my country, actually, someone is right now. A different discussion. If someone was invading our country with, you know, AK-47s and T-90 tanks, I'd like to think I'd be American enough to be up on the front line, or at least right behind it, commanding a brigade.
Right.
It's not simply Russians bad, and I don't think I have to prove my Russian bad credentials, because I was like in the Cold War. I know how to fight a motor rifle regiment in the attack. I mean, but I'm American. What's best for us? And this is fighting the Republican caucus. And there are people of good faith. I mean, there are people I disagree with who are not bad people, and they're not insane. I think they're just wrong. But we've got to figure out, you know, are we still an interventionist party the way that we were? Or are we going back to a less interventionist, more Jacksonian view, which we had like in the 30s, 40s and before the Cold War?
That's a very good point. It's the big tent. We're talking with our friend Kurt Schlichter.
Yes.
This, I think, is ultimately, and I'm so glad that you brought it up like this, because I think this is what the heart of the matter is. I love having the big tent because you have to have a coalition.
Yes.
And you have the party, and then you have your party positions, and then you have your more personal ideological positions. And those two may not necessarily be the same thing for everybody. And I don't know that they can be when you're trying to build a coalition, which gets into Reagan's 80-20 rule. You know, my 80% friends, not my 20% enemy. But how do you convince people and talk to people that's how you go about coalition building? As long as you're finding the center on the 80% stuff, that's what matters.
Well, Dana, I think there are a lot of people who, and I want to be clear, I'm not insulting people. I'm making an observation.
Right, right.
A lot of people brought into politics by Donald Trump in 2016. They had been interested before. He brought them in. And it is good for American citizens
True.
To participate in politics.
Yes.
But you've got to learn about it and learn how it works. And my views are not the same exactly as they were 15 years ago, because I've learned more about how things do work, what can be done, what can't be done, mistakes other people have made. The idea that just because you are right, and I think I'm 100% right about everything, but I'm not going to get 100% of what I want. This is a constitutional republic with some democratic procedures and principles. And I'm not always going to win. I'm much more conservative than most of America. I'm going to try and make incremental change towards what I want. I think the Dobbs thing is a great example. We made incremental change till we got Dobbs and sent back to the states. And now, you know, we need to continue to make incremental change state by state, convincing people. You can't snap your fingers, because it's not a dictatorship. We are very, very split in this country. The federal government, arguably we have the Supreme Court. They've got the executive branch, the extent we have a chief executive. We kind of have the House. They kind of have the Senate. And the Senate's by one vote or two votes. Five in the House, and which empowers small groups of people. As well as Nancy Mace, who appears to be a coalition all of her own. You've got to accept that you have to work within a coalition, because if you don't, you have a dictatorship. And, you know, right. If we're going to have a dictatorship, I'd rather be dictator, but I don't think anybody's going to appoint me that.
I could live with you as dictator. If you could live with me as dictator, I don't know that
in a heartbeat.
I'd be like Gladriel if I got the one ring. It would be horrific, but, you know, I'd still.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. There'd be cookies and Komodo dragons forever.
Yay. We're talking with our very good friend, Kurt Schlichter. He's got a new book out. It's brilliant, and not just because I'm in it, No, it's brilliant because he's a brilliant writer, and it's the eighth in the Kelly Turnbull series. I'm going to get into this because we're just talking with the House. And I know the average person doesn't care who's speaker. I know the average person doesn't care about this. And as mad as we get, like, I got real mad at Matt Gaetz. I got so mad at Matt Gaetz. I could just like shake him sometimes until his hair gets messed up. But
it's too solid. Won't happen.
Yeah. But the thing is that you can still agree with someone and then be like, why did you pick this strategy? And I feel like lost in this conversation is our is the frustration that people like you and I have with why was it this strategy when we were winning the narrative on the economy, the Biden stuff, and all of this. Like, the Biden family was under scrutiny more than they've ever been. And that's why people like you and I get so frustrated, because you get so close to getting it, you can just touch it, and then it blows up. And we're just, you know, we've been in this for like 15 years trying to get to this point. It gets frustrating.
Well, look, we've got to remember we're dealing with human beings. And, you know, I spent a lot of time as a commander in the Army. You're dealing with human beings, and they are all different, and they all have their own interests. And sometimes they do not act in what you consider to be the interest of the greater good. Sometimes they have personal agendas. Matt Gaetz apparently hates Kevin McCarthy for reasons that are not entirely clear.
And that doesn't mean that we like Kevin McCarthy.
I don't like Kevin McCarthy. I am completely indifferent to Kevin McCarthy, if not him, someone else. I keep saying politicians are tools in every sense of the word, but the one I'm using it here is they are a means to an end. And if Kevin McCarthy can't cut it, and he hasn't cut
get a different means.
Find a different means. But the thing is, remember, there's a lot going on with speed. It's not just the guy up there deciding what gets put on the floor and what doesn't. Kevin McCarthy ran a huge candidate development apparatus and fundraising apparatus. Huge. He was giving, he raised so much money, and he found good candidates and pushed them. And what's going to happen with that? Now, my guess is Kevin McCarthy's going to continue doing that, wait in the background till people come and say, we want you back. Whether that works or not, we'll see. I think it's very smart for him not to run again, because he just wasn't going to win. But, you know,
Are you excited about a Jim Jordan?
Look, I like Jim Jordan. I don't know if he's going to win, because I don't know if he can get 218 votes. I like him a lot. I think he's charismatic. Some people are afraid he's going to turn off voters. I don't think that's true. This is a guy, I mean, he was a coach. He's used to dealing with people. He's used to being in the spotlight.
He yells like a coach. I like it.
He does do that. I think there's, I'm not afraid to have him as speaker. I don't know if he can win it.
Yeah.
I like Steve Scalise. I'm very worried about his health.
I am too.
And I, you know, the guy was badly wounded by a leftist murderer. Or would be murderer if he knew how to shoot. And now he's got cancer. He's being treated, and I'm very concerned. I think maybe he should focus on himself, because this is a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
This is a job where you're going to the Rancho Cucamonga, you know, conservative ladies forum and eating chicken. Thursday night, and the next night you're going to be in Tampa at the you know, Gay Republicans for Surfing.
Okay, and there are all these little groups in the Republican Party. That's the funny thing.
And speaker's jobs to go see
exactly.
Him
right. Before I let you go, we got our friend Kurt Schlichter here. I got to ask you, what do you think about the Biden move at the border to build a wall? Although Mayorkas said it's not really a wall, it's more of a vertical barrier like structure in the bordery region. Your thoughts?
I think the focus groups must have been so bad. I mean, they must have been like commander on a Secret Service agent bad.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to take commander home. That Yeah, you know it's bad.
Commander.
When Pritzker sends a letter out, J.B. Pritzker.
I know, right? Yeah, obviously, the strategy of moving illegal aliens, which is what they are, to big blue cities has worked unbelievably well.
They need to keep doing it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
oh,
keep doing it. 20 miles of the barrier structure in the bordery region is enough. We need the whole thing. The book is Overlord. It is the eighth book in the Kelly Turnbull series. And the best book that you can buy. It's going to be number two to the Bible. And you need to go out and purchase
move
it.
Move over, Shakespeare.
That's right. Move over, Hemingway. Move over, Shakespeare. It's Kurt Schlichter, Overlord. Very nice book cover as well, I got to say.
Oh, yes.
Our very good friend, Kurt Schlichter. Always good to see you. Tell your lovely wife we said hello.
Well, say hi to Chris and pet the Komodo dragon for me.
Yay! I'm going to go get one now. Thanks, Kurt. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just telling Kane, I could just, you know, for the remainder of the show, do Klaus Schwab's accent while talking about Dr. Evil stuff. Oh, hello, Kane. Would you like a cricket? Is it tasty?
Nothing.
The automobile will come and pick you up at your house and take you. You never need to own an automobile. So what, I mean, literally, we just played that yesterday. That's what he said. Nobody found that creepy? He's his own horror film. In some way, that's like super privilege.
Yeah.
You know, like you're your own horror film, like during spooky season of all times. All right, today in stupidity came.
Like a movie villain. Kind of
totally.
Like our president, who says inflation's coming down, which isn't true, but this is him saying it right now. Listen.
Inflation's coming down at the same time. It's down 60% since last summer. Core inflation was just 2.2% over the past 3 months.
Not how that
now works. We have the lowest inflation of any.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't work
and
that way.
It's going to get worse.
Oh, it's going to get real bad. Sorry, guys. All right. I want you all to have a nice weekend. And remember, nobody needs the natural funeral home stuff. Be embalmed or burnt. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday.